You are listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday morning, March 25th. Dr. Darren Robinson preaches a message entitled, Somebody Say Amen.
The first time I heard Dr. Robinson was over at Brother Smith's church in Fort Worth, and he and Dr. Gray was preaching, and I began to think, we want to have some special days, and of course we have different types of special days around here, and we started thinking in the staff meeting about at the beginning of the year, before the beginning of the year even took place, about having a Sunday that we call Texas Tornado Sunday. Now, we don't do that because Texas is known for its tornadoes, but we certainly want hot preaching. And when I heard him, I thought, oh, our people would eat that up. And I thought that would be tremendous. He received the Lord as his Savior at age 7 while he was in Illinois. And then, of course, at age 14, surrendered to preach and started, of course, full-time Christian service at age 28. God led him to move to an area in Nevada. And in 1992, he started the Rock of Ages Baptist Church there. God's blessed in a wonderful way. On April the 8th, they'll celebrate 20 years of ministry there. Great preacher, great soul winner, a great individual. Our young people loved them yesterday. And just had a great singles rally, 37 singles was there. And they enjoyed the pizza or, I guess, whatever else you ate or if you even ate. Did you eat pizza? Barbecue. Wow. And then, of course, they had volleyball and all those things. But be honest with you, when I walked in the gym, I had single young person after single young person after single young person coming up and just saying, let me tell you how God spoke to my heart. And that was neat. That was really neat to see how pliable our college young people are. Of course, most of them are serving in other ministries this morning. We have between 50 and 60 different ones that's serving across the property here and other places as we have other services being conducted right now. But they enjoyed hearing him yesterday, and we all will enjoy hearing him in just a few minutes, and he'll preach for us again tonight. Let's all stand, if you will. Let's give him a big Texas welcome, please.
All right, go ahead and have a seat. Sit down. Come on, sit down. Like Brother Howes, you know. I don't know what to do here. I don't know. Hey, amen. I'm glad to be here. I want to say before I even get started, I love the Lord. And the reason is because he saved my soul. I didn't love him first. The Bible says he first loved me. And I love the Lord. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm on my way to heaven. Brother Casey, as we were eating, we were talking about things that you remember when you were a child. And I remember getting saved. I remember it. I'm telling you, and how can you forget when you're sitting there, you walk down the aisle Sunday morning and you say, I want to join the church. Hold on, before you say amen there, the preacher looked at me and said, you don't join the church to go to heaven! So, whoa, so he pushed me aside, set me down later on. He told me how to get saved. And back then in 67, he didn't draw the net. I'd have got it that day. But he sent me home. I only lived right down the block from a block away from the church. And all that week I was trying to be careful not to do anything to get killed. And I'm telling you, I walked down the aisle that next week and he remembered me from last week. And here's what he said. What are you doing up here this week for? I don't want to die and I don't want to go to hell. I want to get saved. And he said, okay. I'll never forget that. And I got saved that day. And later on, about a couple weeks later, we didn't have a baptistry in our church there in Chicago. Actually, it was Maywood, Illinois. And a couple weeks later, it took us down to another church. And I got baptized, and I'll never forget that. Because God made it real once again that any day, any time, you could die and go off into eternity. The day I got baptized, a lady had a heart attack right there in the church. and she died and went off into eternity. So you talking about, you say, can you remember? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I remember a number of other things. I was telling them about the choir when I was younger and how they would sing the hymns, and it was just a blessing. And as I got older, you kind of got away from some of those things, but as we kind of came back, they were just stuck there in my memory. And I appreciate those days of my life. So I'm saying that to young people. Sit up and pay attention. Amen. Sit up and pay attention. If you don't remember anything else, he brought this to my heart. If you don't remember anything else, remember getting saved. Remember the church. Remember the messages from the preacher. And boy, that's what will take you through life. I remember sitting at home, and we have family devotion. And mom was the one who led devotion because dad wasn't doing everything right at that time. And that's a long story. Brother Casey can fill you in on that some other time. But we were having devotion, and mom said, son, sometime you're going to have to fast and pray. I'll never forget that. She took the Bible and turned us to Matthew 17:21. And talked about fasting and praying. That's what my mama did for me. And as my wife and I were going through some struggles, I said, sweetheart, we have to sometimes fast and pray. It wasn't struggles of our marriage. Matter of fact, we've been married 33 years yesterday. And so we weren't having that struggle. We were having struggles like most young couples, financial problems. And I said, you got to fast and pray. So I went on the shelf and I took a Bible down. Oh, let me change that. I took a book down. It was NIV. It was in my library. And I turned to Matthew 17:21. It wasn't in there. Yep. It said it doesn't belong in the Bible. Oh, yeah. And right at that time, I took that book and I said, wham! That's not right up against the wall. I told my wife, that's not a Bible. Amen. Exactly what I did. Now, you got to understand, I didn't know anything about Independent Fundamental Baptist. All I knew is that mama had showed me something in the Word of God. And I took a book off the shelf, and it wasn't there anymore. And I said to my wife, mama wouldn't lie to me. I didn't realize God wouldn't. At that time, all I had was mama's word. Hey, you listen to mama when she bring you to church. Amen. You listen to daddy when he's trying to tell you what thus says the Lord. And it'll keep you right. It'll keep you straight. And that time, I started standing on the King James Bible when I thought every other preacher was an idiot. I'm just being honest with you. I just said, this is the Bible right here, and I'm going to stick with this book. And then I found out there were some other guys had it right, too. And that's when I finally met Dr. Howells in 1995. And boy, that's been the blessing of my life. And so I share all that with you so you can get to know me a little bit. Some of you look at me and you say, who is this guy? And I look at you and say the same thing. Who do you think you are? Amen. So... I know Pastor Wells not preaching to you today, and I'm trying to take up some time so I won't have to preach so long. But I'm so glad to be here, and I'm thankful for churches like this, churches that have helped me. I didn't start out an independent Baptist; I was a missionary Baptist. And when I did make the transition, I went to the church that I started in, and I told them what I was going to do, and I said, "We're going to change to be an Independent Fundamental Baptist Church." And I said, would you like me to get my license and my ordination back? And they said, no. And I said, why? They said, because we're all supposed to be that way. And I'll never forget the words that he said to me. It was my dad who was the pastor, actually, who actually licensed me and ordained. He said this, we're all supposed to be that way. I wish I was younger like you and still had the courage to stand like you're getting ready to do. And so we made that transition, and my dad, he supported every. He still hasn't changed. In fact, because he hasn't taken that stand, a lot of things have even gone a lot further away from the Word of God. And so I thank God that he encouraged me to take that stand. And like I said, in 95, I heard Dr. Howells, and boy, that of course changed my life. All I am is a guy that hears what God says and then try to do it. I don't know everything that God wants to say to me right now, but when I hear it, I want to do it. And I'll give you this story, and I'll kind of leading up to where I'm going today. One of the soul winning clinics over at Longview Baptist Temple, when Dr. Gray was still there as pastor and Dr. Howells was still preaching, he was there preaching about the bus ministry. And he was, don't laugh yet. He was there preaching about the bus ministry. He said, keep the buses rolling, keep the buses rolling, keep the buses rolling. Now, you got to remember, again, I was missionary Baptist. I didn't grow up in this. And so, man, he came to the invitation time, and he talked about it by October, get a bus route going. And he was just on that. Keep the buses rolling. I knew it was about reaching souls and things of that nature, but I dove into the altar. I went to God, and I said, God, we're going to keep the buses rolling. By the way, we didn't even have a bus ministry. I said, we're going to keep the buses rolling, and we're going to have a bus by October, just like Dr. Howe said, God, according to your will. And I was down there begging God and just pleading and just shedding tears. And I was going to keep the buses rolling. And I went back to my wife, and I got back to my seat, and I was looking at my wife, and I said, sweetheart. She said, what? I said, what's a bus ministry? But the preacher stood up and said, keep the buses rolling. And he brought something from the word of God. And in my heart, I got stirred. And I said, we're going to keep the buses rolling. We're going to keep the buses rolling. And we did. We started a bus route. We started with a van route. Actually, we got a van, a 12-passenger van, and we started filling that thing up. And one Sunday came in there with 24 people in the van. I said, we better get a bus. I was taking her, my friend, she likes to tell this part of the story more than I do, but I didn't know anything about bus ministry, so I got Brother Beebe's book on the bus ministry and some other things, and one of the things he says in there is, go out in the neighborhoods when you see kids, just reach in your pocket and give them a piece of candy, start talking to them. Well, I forgot, this was in the, 60s or something, he said give kids a candy. You don't give kids candy in 1990-something. And especially you don't give kids candy when you're in a town of 8,000 people and almost all 8,000 of them are white and you're a black man. So I was giving candy to all of these little precious little white children. Yeah. But we started our bus ministry. We still got the buses rolling. Amen. And boy, I tell you what, my wife said, we're going to jail. We're going to jail. We're going to jail. We're going to jail. Now, here's the thing about it. She almost did go to jail because of our bus ministry. We showed up one day at the house, and the sheriff had called our home and said, Pastor Robinson, you need to bring your wife down to the sheriff's station. And so we got down there, and he said, there's a complaint written out against your wife. Said she assaulted a child. And he said, well, after we finish reading out right now, if she writes out her statement and we read the other statement, we're going to decide whether or not to arrest your wife. Oh, yeah. And I said, and I told her, I said, you're right. You are going to jail. Amen. And what it was is that we was someone that was causing us a lot of problems. We had to keep them off the property. When she came to the door, she was, of course, the one there and said, you can't come in. And so they tried to charge her with assault. And but we've had fun. We've had fun there in Nevada, and I hope we'll have a little fun today. But like I said, I was leading up to something, and here's today what I want to talk to you about. And it's very simple. And actually, I got it from Dr. Gray. And all it is these words. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, I want to tell you the reason why God has laid that on my heart. And I know churches like ours. I know the struggles that we have. I know what they call us. Again, I'm out in the middle of Nevada, in Fallon, Nevada, 8,000 people, and the largest population is cattle, not people. And I know when they come to our church, I know they look at us like we're strange and like something's wrong with us. But I'm telling you, he told me to come and be the Texas. I'm not a Texas tornado right now with my leg. I'm just about a sagebrush blowing through the wind. But truth of the matter is, I know what we need in our churches today, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. We need somebody to say amen. When this preacher stands up to preach, somebody's got to say amen. When he says, thus says the Lord, somebody has got to say amen. And if you don't say amen, I'm telling you something. People come to our church and say, what's wrong with those folks? He's the only one that's up there that believes it. He's the only one that's up there that said, that's what God said. But he can't be the only one. Somebody's got to say amen. You say, preacher, where you get that from? Well, let's try to see what we can't do here. Take your Bibles and go to the book of James, if you would, please. And then I'll get over to the book of Deuteronomy in just a second. But let's stand in honor of the word of God. And he told me that this was hot, so we're going to get going with it. Come on. There you go, man. Sometimes I look up at the sound people, and I'm glad they're at a distance, because I'll choke them if they weren't. I'm being honest with you. No, I'm only kidding with you. That you got to listen to me. Get used to me, because I'm not the normal guy. Have you noticed that?
I'm a different color. I'm not the normal. Amen. And by the way, somebody said, you shouldn't make jokes like that. If you can't laugh at you. And by the way, I'm laughing at myself. Don't you laugh at me. No, I'm okay. But you need to learn to laugh at yourself a little. You, by the way, can I tell you something? I don't care who you are. You're not that important. You're really not. I'm telling you, I found this out because people always think they're important. And they say, if I get out of the way and if I move and don't show up, then we'll see what happens. I always like to say this. Do you realize this? One monkey don't stop a show. God can train another monkey to do your tricks. Amen. That's what I said. That first monkey that learned how to turn flips is not still alive. There's still more monkeys doing it. Amen. And by the way, God can get somebody else to do what we're all doing. So I'm thanking God, and I'm going to have fun doing it while I'm doing it. Amen. The book of James, chapter number 1, the Bible says this in verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Verse 16, our last verse. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Father, thank you so much for the privilege to come to stand and teach and preach your word. Help me now, I pray. Please, dear God, if there's someone here not saved, help them, dear God, to hear through your Holy Spirit the need of Christ as their personal Savior. For those of us that are saved, help us, Father, to understand you did not just bring us here to take up again the 18 inches of pew, but you brought us here today so that our hearts can be touched and our lives can be changed. Would you just help, please, I pray. Holy Spirit of God, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Somebody say amen. Amen. See, when you get over to the book of Deuteronomy, you get over there and God starts talking about the curses. Remember that? The two mountains. And he says, if a person does this, he says, here's what will happen. And he'll say, somebody say amen. Amen. And then he'll say something. He'll say, somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say amen. Now understand something. All these were about curses. And you know what God said? God said, when I get through talking about curses, I need somebody to say amen. Of course, God talks about the blessings and talk about what could happen. But God said, I need somebody to speak up and say amen. Amen is a declaration that I've heard the truth. Amen. I 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 heard the truth. Amen is not only a declaration, but amen is saying I'm getting ready to make a decision. I heard that truth, and now it's time for me to do something with the truth that I just heard. Amen, amen, amen. That's the reason why when you come to this old-fashioned altar, don't just run back to your seat. Say, preacher, here's what I'm getting ready to do with what you just preached, with what God just laid on my heart. I heard the truth, and I'm making a decision right now. Somebody say amen. But you need to understand something. Amen is also saying, guess what? I want to be like Jesus. Jesus is known as the great amen. He is the amen. He's the faithful and the true one. He is the one when we say amen, we say, that's who I want to be like. If he is the amen and I'm saying amen, I want to be like the amen. But our problem today is this. An old preacher can get up here with his leather lungs and he can shake the shingles and he can break the windows and somebody will sit there and say these words. I brought a visitor today. I wish he wouldn't say that. See, I wasn't going to preach this on Sunday morning. I was waiting to thinking about Sunday night. But you want to know, we need the amen on Sunday morning when the visitor shows up. We need the amen when the rebellious is sitting in the pew. We need the amen when folks are struggling about the decision that needs to be made in their life. Somebody needs to hunt him and say, hey, brother, you hear that? Amen, brother. Amen, brother. Put the heat on. Why, preacher? Because you need to understand, this preacher is not up here just crying aloud and sparing not. He's at home crying alone. He's at home saying, dear God, those young people that you've given to me, I don't want their lives to be destroyed. And that's the reason I came to the text today. See, you need to understand something. The preacher knows something that most of us have taken for granted. We know it, but again, here's the problem. We know it, but we're not alert, and we're not attentive, and we're not responding the way that we should. And the preacher needs somebody to say, amen, that's the truth. I agree. I made a decision myself. I'm going to turn out to be like Jesus. I say to you, preacher, amen. When you look at the text, the Bible talks about every man being tempted. Every man is being tempted. And here's something the preacher knows. The preacher knows that the little child in here is going to get tempted. He knows the teenager is going to get tempted. He knows those that have just started in the Christian journey, you adults, are going to be tempted. But he also knows that those of us that have been in the journey a long time, I heard brother, I think it's the doctor over here, right? Doctor, so just a brother and sister in Christ, amen. Yesterday they told him, they said he was saved in 1967. I don't remember what the exact word was, but it was something like this. Oh, man. That, it like he'd never seen anybody from 1967. But you want to know something? Since 1967, I haven't always been right with God. I haven't always walked the way I should walk. I haven't always done the things that I should do. And when this preacher stands up to preach, you know what he said? I know this reality, that those of us that have been in the battle a long time also can be tempted. Let none of us say, let none of us think that there won't be a devil that's at our door knocking, trying to get us to mess up. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It didn't say be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary goes around looking for the kid trying to devour him. It didn't say be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil looking after the teenagers trying to devour him. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walking after the young adult trying to devour him. Hey, you know what God said? God left it open, and he said, all of you be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I got some news for you. He's after you too. And you, pastor, and you, brother, and you, the devil's after all of us. He's gotten so many preachers today. And the preacher says, come on, listen. Listen, it's the reality of this thing. He's after us. All he's looking for, and I shared this with the young people yesterday, is a way to get in. See, listen to me. He knows that there's some undetected weaknesses in your life and in mine. And what he does, and I shared this also, he brings unexpected opportunities because we have unprotected lives in those areas we know nothing about. And so when the preacher stands up and he says, thus saith the Lord, he's trying to identify those areas that aren't protected, identify those areas where you can expect the devil to come in, identify those areas that are weaknesses in your life and in mine. You know what he needs? He needs somebody. When he's preaching to say, amen. He realizes, now please get this. I want to ask a question, and I'm going to try to rush this thing along. Now, he told me I had just a few minutes, and I usually take a few minutes for every point, and every point has a few minutes of subpoints and a few minutes of the points of the subpoints. No, I'm not going to labor, but let me help you a little bit here. Come here, brother. I want to ask you a question. Come right here. Come right here. I'm a kid. Would you look at those folks? I want to ask you a question. Do you want to die? See how easy that was? Do you see how easy that was? Do you want to die? He said, no, sir. He didn't even contemplate it. He didn't even think about it. All he knows is this. I don't know what that crazy fool preacher getting ready to do, but he asked me if I wanted to, and I'm telling him, no, I don't want to. Basically what he said, if I can sit down, if death is the other option, I want to sit down. You know what he said? I don't want to die. You got to realize something. The preacher knows the reality of temptation, but the preacher also knows the route of temptation. In other words, here's what the preacher says. When I get through preaching, I know the outcome of what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to kill you. He's trying to, not listen to me, he's not playing with you. He's not trying to wound you. He's not just trying to have a day of it. He wants your life. That's the opposite, life, death. Which one you want? You want life. You don't want death. You've already said it. Well, why when the preacher stands up and says, oh, thus says the Lord. Oh, God wants me today to bring this word to you. God has spoken in my heart. Somebody in here is getting ready to die. And I'm not trying to be one of these charismatic preachers. No, no, no. I'm telling you that when the preacher stands up, he knows the reality of temptation and he knows the route of it. The devil is trying to kill you. But that's really the end of it. And that's not where the preacher really starts. Can you stand up? Do you want to die? Do you want to be known everywhere as the sinner? See how easy that is? But the preacher stands up over here again and he says, thus says the Lord. God has spoken. God's word says, this is sin, that's sin, this sin, that's sin. Sin has deceived us. Sin has tried to, stay away from sin. And you know what he needs somebody to say? Amen. Not sit like a bump on a log, but somebody's got to say, amen. The preacher just identified sin. Why? Because sin bringeth forth death. Amen. He knows the route of it. So you hear him preaching about death. I don't want to die. Oh, do you want to die?
No, sir.
Don't want to die. So guess what you got to do? Before you get here, you got to start listening when the preacher starts talking about sin. What God calls sin. Sin is any transgression of the law. Sin is when we don't obey God. But let's don't start there. Can I get you? He knows the route of this thing. Stand right here. Oh, there's something in your heart, brother. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know what he's telling you? Don't trust yourself. Look at the text. Lust, when it's conceived, bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. I don't want to die. Well, then listen when he preaches about sin. I don't want to die. Then listen when he preaches about your heart. He said, this is lust. This is what the devil uses. This is how he gets in. He used a couple words about drawn away and enticed. You know what he's saying over here? You little young fella that think you know everything. He knows how to draw you away. He knows how to entice you. He knows the lures that'll take you down. And when he starts telling you how to protect your family, you know what he needs somebody to do? Say amen. Somebody needs to say the preacher's right. The preacher said it. The preacher, listen, this is in me. And I talked about, again, these undetected areas, our heart that we don't know about and that we don't really understand. The preacher understands the reality of temptation. And he understands the route of temptation. And he understands the results of temptation. And it leads right to this, death. Again, it ain't just a wounding. It ain't just a temporary out of service. So many of God's people are dead now. It can't be used like God would have them to be used. Why? Because they didn't listen. And say amen when the preacher said lust conceives, brings forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And I want you to notice something about this. We have this lust, we have this desire, and we conceive, we birth sin. But the Bible says sin when it is finished. Now watch this. Here's me. I'm the one with the lust. I'm the one who has birthed now sin. But God didn't say when I get finished with sin. God said when sin gets finished with me. Sin gets done with me. Sin brings me to death. See, because when I got done with sin, I tell sin, go back to the grave where you come from. Sin said, oh no, baby, I got you hooked now, line and sinker. Sin brings forth death. Now here's what God says, and I'm just wanting to be honest with you. Here's what God says. You got a chance now to respond. Somebody say amen. Amen. It's response time. That's what that's all about. Response time. That's why he said in verse 16, do not err, my beloved brother. This preacher didn't come on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, just to say, did I wax eloquently? Every time I go home, I say, sweetheart, do you think I helped the people? Do you think somebody got it? Do you think we're not going to get the phone call we got this week about a young teenage boy and a teenage girl that we told, touch not one another. Don't touch each other. Don't be hooking up your lips. Would somebody listen? We get the call. Now she's pregnant. I'm not talking about years ago. I'm talking about this month. I had to get the call. Will somebody listen when we say stay away from the alcohol? You've had trouble with it. Stay away. Don't go around it. Will somebody listen when the young lady called again and said, preacher, I'm in jail again. Will somebody listen? Will somebody understand? Do not err, my beloved brother. It's time to respond. The preacher loves you. And he's trying to keep from getting those phone calls. He's trying to keep young people in church. He's trying to keep young adults' lives right so they can raise godly families. And he's trying to keep some of us senior saints, and I'll say that way, some of us that have been at it a long time, alert because the devil said, if I could get him to sleep just a moment. So you got a decision to make. God says, do not err. You know what he just said? Don't be deceived and don't be distracted. Don't be deceived and don't be distracted. You know what he says? Some are sitting here right now and saying these words. It'll never happen to me. Oh, don't be deceived and don't be deceived. Brother, you've read about the brothers, the one that love God, that preach our greatest conferences, that are falling because somebody said, it'll never happen to me. Don't be deceived and don't be distracted. It says somewhere, I don't remember where it was at. I don't know if it was here. I read the news so much because I want to know what's going on, but said a lady dropped her cell phone, and when she looked up, man was pointing the gun at her. She got distracted and went into his lane. See, that's what's happening. Many of us have gotten distracted and we've gone off course. And the devil said, I can take aim now. Too many of you here today saying, you know what? I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, heaven bound with the hammer down. No, as long as you're in this life, you got a devil on your tail. Now, please listen to me. Listen to me. That's for the saint. This is for the unsaved. That preacher loves you. That preacher has church every week because he wants to see somebody walk in the aisle. Trust Christ as the Savior. He knows that there's a lust in your heart. And he knows that lust has brought forth sin. And he knows that sin has brought forth death. How do you know? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is. And the preacher said, well, somebody listen. If you're not saved, you can still say amen today. You can say amen to the truth that I'm a sinner and I deserve to die and go to hell. But Christ came. He was hung on a cross where they crucified him. I mean, they didn't just take and hang him there. They put nails in him. And before they did that, they took and whipped him. And before they did that, they took and put a crown on his head. Before they did all that, they pulled the hairs from his beard. And then they were taking him up Calvary Hill. They had put clothes back on him. And when he got there, they ripped the clothes off of him, opening up every wound on his body. And the Sioux War's wounds opened up, the blood poured out, and then they put the nail in his head. Somebody ought to understand, he did that because he loved you. Somebody say, amen. But what you got to do is you got to believe it for yourself. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart that God raised Christ from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Real quickly, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You got to say amen to that. What does that mean, preacher? Let me help you real quickly. For you to get saved, and I understand this, it takes three things. Three things? Wait a minute. Yeah, watch this. Of course, I'm not talking about recognize you're a sinner. I'm not talking about recognize the wages of sin. And I'm not talking about the fact that Jesus died for you. But I'm talking about now who you call on. Take three things for you to call the right. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call doesn't mean just help. But that's what it really amounts to. In order for you to be saved, three things. I learned this because I was in the Navy. I retired from the Navy. I loved the Navy. I appreciated the Navy. Navy has helped me with my injuries. I said that to the young people yesterday. But one thing about me in the Navy is this. I can't swim. I can't swim. That shouldn't be unusual. I'm a black man. I can't swim. And I'm only kidding. There's some black people who can swim. There's about four or five of them in the world. But it takes three things. Here's the reason they want you to swim. They want you to be able to save yourself and save other people. One thing I know is I couldn't save myself. But in order to even save someone else, it took three things. Number one, it took somebody who was available. You could be drowning and call help all you want to. If nobody's there, you can't get saved. Not only does it take somebody who's available, but it takes somebody who is willing. If the person that's there, you start yelling help like to the lifeguard, and he look at you and he say, you on your own, honey. You're in trouble. Now, here's the thing about the Navy. And I believe it with all of my heart. If one of my fellow sailors were drowning, and if I was there, I sure have it in my heart to want to save them. But the third thing it takes is somebody who is able to do the saving. And there's people here today when the preacher preaches about come to Jesus and someone say, well, I got my church. You know what he said? A church is there and a church wants to save you, but a church is not able to save you. Amen. When somebody say, I've been doing good works, that's glad. I'm glad you've been doing good work. And I'm glad you want those good works to work, but those good works will not save you. They got to be there and they got to have a desire. They've got to be able. And the only one able to save us from our sins is Jesus Christ, amen. So when the preacher says those words and you hear those folks yelling, amen, you know what they're hoping? I sure hope you respond like I did one day. I sure hope you understand it's decision time now. I sure hope you understand that the one that you're coming to is the amen himself, Jesus Christ. So if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, it's time to say amen. But somebody today, just say amen. He's preached the reality of it. He preached the route of it. He preaches the response of it. The results of it. He's preached the response to it. Somebody come and say amen. If you're saved. If you're not saved, come say amen. I know he'll have some people here waiting to help you. show you how to do it to make sure you're not trusting this church. We've had people even in our place come and they say, well, you talk to them again later. Well, so-and-so told me if I just pray. It's not praying. It's trusting Jesus. Amen. He's there. He's willing. He's able. Amen. Amen. But you got to come and say amen for yourself. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart, God raised Christ from the dead, thou shalt be saved. An imperative in our English language. God says, you do your part, I guarantee you I'll do my part. Your part is to trust. His part is to save. All heads bowed and all eyes closed.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. Or if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you come visit our church.